VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network. It was 19 years ago, on March 31st, 2004, that Terry Schindler Schiavo died by court order. What was her crime? Well, her crime was she needed a feeding tube to provide nourishment to her body, and she needed to drink fluids to stay alive. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the basic necessities that every human being needs to stay alive. Her case went national. The Florida legislature sought to intervene on behalf of Terry, and the requests made by her parents only to be struck down by the courts. As a matter of fact, her case went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court more than once. We at Crosstalk were actively engaged in the battle, as were pro-life agencies all around this nation. Over a period of just a few years, we devoted some 40 to 45 Crosstalk programs advocating for her life. But tragically, on March 31st, 2005, 19 years ago, at approximately 9:05 in the morning, after almost 14 days without nutrition or hydration, Terry Schindler Schiavo died from severe dehydration. We must not forget Terry Schiavo and what led up to her death sentence that she received for being dependent on a feeding tube and needing water to drink. Our guest today was also actively engaged in the battle. Joining us, we welcome Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute, founded in 1991 to serve the educational needs of the pro-life movement. Brad is a host of Life Issues, a daily radio commentary, and the weekly Straight Talk on Life Issues, has produced numerous radio specials, Standing for Life. Brad, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
And Brad, we'll certainly go into some details today, but this is an extremely tragic event that, in my opinion, we must not forget.
Oh, and you know, I don't see how we can. I'm probably typical of millions of Americans who knew exactly where they were when we got word that Terry had died. We had watched the battle play out on national TV, and I found myself sometimes literally screaming at the TV, "She's alive! You're killing her!
Yes.
You know, don't do this."
Brad, I understand that she was 26 years and 3 months old, but collapsed at her home, some unknown reason, and conveyed to a hospital in St. Petersburg. That collapse is yet a mystery, isn't it?
Well, yes. And, you know, we don't know, but one of the things we do know is that her ex-husband had a horrible temper. There was concern, perhaps a little evidence that there was evidence of trauma around her neck. We all who have been close to this have our own opinions, but right now there is no definitive proof.
Right. And what we do know is medical records indicated a brain injury that they say was caused by oxygenation starvation to the brain. And actually, she was on a ventilator for a time, Brad, but she was taken off because she was breathing on her own.
Oh, and she was doing quite well. She was showing improvement when she was getting treatment and therapy.
Mm-hmm.
When Mary, her mother, would walk into the room, Terry would light up.
Yes.
Because she loved her mom. And if she brought her a helium balloon, she would follow that balloon with her eyes wherever Mary took it in the room. She had started to vocalize. There were slow but promising signs of improvement.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, or prior to some of this going on, Michael Schiavo, her husband, was appointed her guardian, both of her person and of her property. And we're told through her website now that after a time, she was moved then from the hospital to a rehab center in Florida. Notes were made, just as you said, Brad, she was actually speaking during physical therapy.
Yes, yes. And, you know, everything went well until that nearly $1 million settlement mm-hmm. landed. And then everything changed dramatically.
Yeah, let me just recite that. Her husband, Michael, had initiated a medical malpractice suit, was awarded some $600,000 for loss of spousal consortium, and over $1.5 million to Terry. Of this, $780,000 placed in a trust to provide for her future health care and therapeutic needs. And after this, when conflict set in between her husband, Michael Chivo, and Terry's parents, the Schindlers, her husband did not want the trust money to be used for therapy and actually cut off Terry's family, even reducing their access to her. This was a very horrible time in their lives.
Oh, it was absolutely horrendous, and it just went on and on, you know, that back and forth tug of war over Terry's life.
Mm-hmm.
The parents even said, Terry's family said, Michael, keep the money. We don't need the money. All we want is our daughter, and we want to take care of her and love her.
Right.
He would not relinquish them.
Right. And we understand at the same time he took up residence with another woman but refused to dissolve this marriage to Terry.
Absolutely. He was living with her. They had one child. I understand they've had another child, but I haven't kept up with Michael, so I'm not sure what his status is.
Yeah. And then they sought out, Michael sought out the services of Right to Die attorney George Fellows, and that motion then was made to withdraw life support from Terry.
Yes, and under the flimsiest of information, ignoring the profound evidence that would indicate the contrary.
So was Terry dying?
No, absolutely not. They said she was a vegetable. I hate that word because it is so dehumanizing for a human to call them that,
mm-hmm.
even though they may not be responsive. But Terry was so far beyond that.
Yeah.
As we talked about, she was responsive, and she was enjoying life as was observed by her family.
Now, and further, she was not brain dead. She was not in a coma either.
No, absolutely not. And all of those tags that they tried to pin on her was like a knife in the back of the family each time they would do that.
Was she dependent upon machines to keep her alive?
No. The only thing she used was a feeding tube, and that provided nutrition and hydration. And that was the extent. There was no ventilation. There was no extraordinary effort or tools or machines to keep her alive. She was doing quite well on her own.
Yeah, it's just absolutely amazing, friends, as to the situations regarding Terry. She was doing great in that regard. No machinery were keeping her alive. And yet, Brad, every time there were stories that you'd see on news, it always kind of showed an electrical outlet with, you know, a hand on a plug or something to pull the plug. But this was not the case of Terry Schiavo.
No, it wasn't. And time again, the media, entertainment programs would actually mock the family for what they were doing, trying to save Terry's life. As you said, this was a very dark time for them.
And the other big issue during that time was it was said that she was in a persistent vegetative state, and yet there were, I understand, some 40 medical affidavits submitted to the court, all that proved that Terry was not in this PVS.
Yes, and do you think that the judge would actually go and see her for himself? He did not. He made all of these rulings based upon the flimsiest of evidence and what he was told wasn't true.
And supposedly, Michael Schiavo made a statement to the court in his testimony that he and Terry had watched some movie depicting a patient on a ventilator. This was back some 15 years earlier, like in the mid-1980s, or not 15 years, but several years earlier. And supposedly he said that Terry said that she wouldn't want to, she would not want to live that way.
Well, how many people wouldn't say the exact same thing? Of course, nobody wants to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
They want to live with all of their faculties and mobility that they have now. But when put in that position, would they want somebody to intentionally kill them? You know, that's entirely different matter, and people would not choose death over life in most of those circumstances.
And again, this movie evidently had somebody on mechanical life support, and this was not part of Terry's life. She was not
It was not. It was far from it. She was actually aware of her surroundings, as I said, and it was so much fun when Mary would walk in that room. She would light up and start to vocalize, and it was just something, a far cry from the way that Michael Schiavo was painting her along with the media.
And Brad, her parents were totally denied any caremaking decisions on her behalf.
Yes, that's right. And toward the end there, they couldn't be in the room without a police officer standing nearby making sure that they didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it got closer to the end where she was being denied food and water, they were there to make sure that they didn't even stick their finger in a cup of water and put it on her tongue. It was such cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that Terry died, you know, they would put you in jail if you did that to a dog.
Exactly. And that point was made over and over again, Brad. I remember back on Crosstalk back in here 19 years ago as we're advocating on behalf of Terry. And that was a point made. You would not treat an animal this way. Animal control they would put you in jail if you did that. I mean, it was below human to do something like what they did to Terry.
And as you said, almost 14 days that she was denied food and water.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how you would feel, what would happen to your body? And Bobby and his sister, Suzanne, told me that they would not let Mary into the room toward the end because of the horrible scene that they were watching as she died.
Yeah. Now, Bobby would be Terry's brother.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And Suzanne was Terry's sister.
Yeah. Friends, it was indeed horrible. And Brad, did the court ever recognize the money that Michael stood to inherit as a conflict of interest?
You would think so, but they ignored all kinds of things, Jim. They ignored the fact of her true medical condition. It's like what we're seeing a lot now today with abortion. They ignore the reality of what abortion does to those babies and the development in the womb. Just to get to the end result that they want. And that was the case here. You know, Jim, when President Bush was vacationing in Texas during this, and they passed legislation on Terry's behalf in Congress, he actually got on Air Force One, flew from Texas to Washington, D.C. to sign the bill and fly back to Texas. And at that point, we really thought that Terry would prevail and her family would prevail and that her life would be spared. But it took another turn after that.
Yes, indeed. They went to the courts and the courts said no, that Terry's law was not constitutional and it was battled in the courts. We're talking with Brad Mattis today from Life Issues Institute. And friends, we're going to share a little bit more about Terry's life and also some of the issues, even on advanced directives as well and surrounding issues here today. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America as we remember the life of Terry Schiavo, who was ushered into eternity 19 years ago this coming weekend. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we know that Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. Was that also covered by the waters of Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible says that the entire earth was covered by water, but I really don't think Mount Everest existed at the time of the flood. Mount Everest, and indeed all the mountain chains in the world, are made up of ocean bottom sediments. These sediments were deposited as mud at the bottom of the flood ocean. Late in the flood, they were uplifted into our present mountain chains. In fact, at the top of Mount Everest are fossils of ocean bottom clams. This does not mean that the floodwater sloshed over Mount Everest. Sediments which now make up Mount Everest were deposited at the bottom of the flood ocean and then uplifted to form Mount Everest. Chris, the entire world was altered by the great flood of Noah's day. This, we're told, when we go back to Genesis.
You can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
Many of you who are especially longtime listeners to Crosstalk will remember how we advocated day after day after day for the life of Terry Schiavo. 19 years ago, over somewhere between 40 and 45 broadcasts on Crosstalk conducted on this matter. And we're talking today with Brad Mattis of the Life Issues Institute regarding Terry Schiavo, her life, and certainly the battle that ensued for her life. Brad, let me ask you, what is your connection to this whole matter? What was your first sense of engagement here?
Well, when shortly after she died, I was an executive producer and host of a weekly television program, a pro-life programming called Facing Life Head On. And we took the crew down to St. Petersburg, Florida, not far from where I live now, and we interviewed the family. And then again, we went down to Florida, and I wanted to make sure that people didn't forget what was going on, and then I wanted to feature what the Schindler family was doing to carry on and carry on Terry's name and protect other patients like that. And shortly after that, I was asked to serve on the board of directors, and then I served as chairman of the board for several years for the organization, just last year stepping away from that due to time constraints that's on my calendar.
Sure.
But they are like family to me, and it was interesting that Bob Schindler, I was the only one he would allow to do an interview with because I was the only one he trusted. And not long after we did that second interview, he passed away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the media would twist and turn the facts of this case, and so much deception was given in their reporting, Brad.
Oh, yes, yes. And it's like they stuck a knife in the back of the family members and then, as you said, twisted it. And it was so evil, and it was like they were trying to inflict as much emotional pain on the family as they could. And that was the most difficult to see. But, you know, they kept their nose to the grindstone. They focused on the patients that they could help. They get calls daily on the National Crisis Hotline, and Mary takes most of those calls herself.
Right.
Because she's been in that position, and people can find hope, life and hope at the organization and what they have to offer.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis, our guest today. And Brad, according to the TerryShivo.org website, Terry was admitted to the hospice of the Florida Suncoast shortly after the conclusion of a 2000 trial. Records on file with Florida's Division of Corporations show that attorney George Filos acted as the hospice's chairman of the board at that time and up until his resignation in 2002. Again, why is there no thought as to conflict of interest there?
Yeah. It just happened time and time again. You know, in another circumstance, it would have been comical, but this one had such tragic results that it certainly wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it was as if all reason had been put on a shelf up in a dark room somewhere and forgotten, and everything catered to the agenda of what Terry's estranged husband wanted. And he wanted her gone, and he did whatever he could, and as a result, the money that was left then went to him, and he could spend it as he pleased. That money conflict of interest was enormous, but still, also that was ignored.
Brad, I know that when the final order was given here about hydration, that was not the first time that her feeding tube had been removed. As far back as 2001, they had removed her feeding tube, did not allow hydration for her. She went some more than 60 hours until another judge ruled that be reinstated.
Yes, and I think, if memory serves me, I think that happened twice before the final one that it stayed. And then, of course, after 13 days, she finally succumbed to such a gruesome death.
And friends, again, this went back and forth. As Brad mentioned, the Florida legislature got involved. They passed Terry's Law. Had been signed by Governor Bush at that time there, and there was the whole matter of then this going to the courts and having that rescinded by the courts, and then finally that order came in 2005. And matter of fact, it went all the way up right to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court, they just refused to get involved at all.
Right, right, and then that was the death knell for Terry. And it just that was a definitive day that we thought, yes, it's the battle has finally been lost.
Again, friends, there was no plug to be pulled. She needed a feeding tube to receive her nourishment. She drank bread from a straw.
Yes, yes. And she didn't receive all of the fluids that she needed to sustain herself mm-hmm. through a straw, but yes, and that was kind of also part of her therapy.
Right. And again, friend, she was talking. Well, Brad, I remember watching the videos of Terry, and as you said, you know, following the balloon or just lighting up when her mom walked into the room. I mean, it was all evident, very evident there. Brad, did Terry have an advance directive?
No. There was nothing, and all that Michael held on to was some off-the-cuff remark mentioned during the TV show that, of course, there is no substantive proof that she even made that statement.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly possible, but as I said before, how many of us make that statement having absolutely zero intention of allowing themselves to be dehydrated to death?
Yeah. So no advance directive that was there, and I understand that the court awarded him guardianship at that time as well. Brad, and again, friends, tragically, Terry's life was taken. I mean, after these many days it was March 31, 2005, 19 years ago this weekend, about 9:05 in the morning, she was about 14 days without nutrition or hydration that she died. And Brad, help us understand some takeaways from all of this as it relates. This is a tragic situation that should never have happened, and yet I fear it is happening in places around this country, perhaps not receiving the media attention or notoriety as Terry Schiavo's life did.
Oh, Jim, this is happening literally every day in the nation. And, you know, what is driving the medical care in our country is the almighty dollar. You know, we've seen that how the customer used to be the center of the universe of corporations, and they were there to serve them. And now in many cases, like when we fly, it's like they're putting us through as much grief and discomfort as they think we'll tolerate so that they'll make more money. And you can just look at corporation after corporation. And I have been involved in the healthcare community for decades with my own chronic health issues, and I have seen that deterioration where it's all about the dollars. It's no longer about the patient. And as a result, those with brain injuries are expensive to maintain, and so it's easier to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So for cost containment, that's what they do. And they have passed laws in all 50 states that changed the definition of a feeding tube from providing very basic care to extraordinary treatment. And that then allowed this food and water to be withdrawn. And there is the futility policy that many medical facilities came up with, and that's where they decided if that life was futile or not. And if it was, then that patient usually didn't receive food or water anymore, and that could be withheld against the wishes of the family. They also came up with quality adjusted life years. And here's a simplification of that. Jim, say that there's a man who's perfectly healthy, who's 30 years old, and they look at providing him health care if there was a crisis or something, and they estimate his lifespan. Well, if you're disabled, they look at you differently, Jim. They look at you as quality-adjusted life years. And that quality is, in their eyes, is much less if you're dealing with a disability, say cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, or hydrocephaly, or anything from minor to large, then they mark down the value of your life with this policy. And as I said, they've quietly put all of this into place so that they can play God and they can decide who lives and who dies. And sadly and tragically, Jim, it's decisions based on the almighty dollar and how they can show to the trustees, the board of directors, you know, just how much money that the hospital is generating versus spending. And it's just a terrible thing now to have less expenses, to cut down their expenses. They started to ration care, and that's what they've done with this quality-adjusted life years, the medically futile policies, and redefining what tubes for basic care, and now calling it medical treatment. These are all pieces that they put in place over the decades to take total control over the patient's life.
Friends, I mean, you just heard recently on Crosstalk, our speaking with Scott Shero, whose daughter Grace, with Down syndrome, was taken, and the deadly dose of drugs that was given her in the hospital when they were to be helping her as she worked through COVID, but instead her life was taken. And I point out as well, I am having my hand, here's a column from Wall Street Journal that is from August 27, 2009, telling us, Brad, and about Dr. Ezekiel Manuel, health advisor to President Barack Obama, under scrutiny, a bioethicist who has written extensively about who should get medical care, who should decide, and whose life is worth saving. He's part of a school of thought that redefines a physician's duty, insisting that includes working for the greater good of society instead of focusing on a patient's needs. They call it communitarianism. It should guide decisions on who gets care. He says medical care should be reserved for the non-disabled, not given to those who are irreversibly prevented from being or becoming participating citizens. An obvious example is not guaranteeing health services to patients with dementia. That this is outrageous, but this is the school of thought behind it.
Yes, and there were so many people that were outright killed by neglect during the COVID thing. And here's the thing, Jim, is that there was no advocate for them. They wouldn't let any family members or an attorney or anybody into that facility.
Yeah.
So they could do whatever they wanted to that patient, and there was zero accountability. And when they crossed the line, there was nobody to hold them accountable for the death of those patients.
They had an armed guard there by Terry.
Yes. Yes, they did. Yes. And when the family went in and their window of time, opportunity to spend time with her, grew shorter and shorter. It was just really difficult. And at the end, that's another story, too.
We'll be right back, friends. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis with us from lifeissues.org, the Life Issues Institute, as we remember Terry Schifel. We'll be right back.
Israel. It's only about the size of New Jersey, yet it makes headlines all over the world. Throughout history, many attempts have been made to annihilate the Jews. Threats continue today to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Yet none of these attempts have ever succeeded. In the book, Miracle of Israel, authors Gary Fraser and Jim Fletcher present the shocking, untold story of God's love for his people. The authors take you back to Israel past, focusing on God's promise to Abraham, the entry into the promised land, and the message of the prophets. You'll read of Israel present, with events leading up to and including Israel becoming a nation. And you'll read of Israel's future, the Gog and Magog War, the Great Tribulation, and the Millennial Kingdom. Miracle of Israel is available for a donation of $17 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Guest today in Crosstalk, Brad Mattis from the Life Issues Institute. Their website, lifeissues.org. We're remembering the life of Terri Schiavo and certainly the tragic circumstances that hastened her death. Again, she was not on life support. Friend, she needed nourishment. She needed food. She needed water, just like you and I. But she needed a feeding tube and needing a feeding tube to get that nourishment into her, just as people all across this nation. There are many that need feeding tubes. And matter of fact, as some of the statistics I saw, over 3 million people globally needing feeding tubes. And friends, the aspect of Terri's life, the taking of her life, the willful, I mean, this is really, some might even say this is, would classify this as being judicial murder, because really it was a court order to take out her life, Brad.
Yes, it was murder, plain and simple. In God's eyes, it was murder. And in every Christian's eyes, it should be. And just because they say it's legal does not make it right.
Mm-hmm. There was a crisis hotline established as a result of all of this.
Yes, yes. One of the things that they do there at the Terri Schiavo Life and Hope Network is they provide a national crisis hotline. First of all, the website of that address of the website is lifeandhope.com. You can get a wide variety of resources. We'll talk about some of those documents in a second. But the National Crisis Hotline are for people, family, friends, of loved ones or dear ones who are being treated poorly in hospice or in hospital. And you can see the direction that it's going in the same way of Terri. That number is 855-300-HOPE, 855-300-HOPE. And again, that's at lifeandhope.com. If you want to reach them by email, it's lifeline@lifeandhope.com. And there are documents that you need to be prepared with that look at life from a positive, God-pleasing way, a will to live, not a living will, but a will to live, and they can set you up. I don't believe there's any charge for those documents, but you reach out to them and ask for those documents, and then you can set that up. The best thing you can do is talk to a loved one who you appoint as your voice should you be incapacitated, somebody that you trust who understands the sanctity of life. Not to keep you alive when it is truly futile, but one who will make decisions based upon those that are God-pleasing and decisions that won't hurry or cause the death of the patient.
And so like a healthcare power of attorney would accomplish that very thing.
You bet it would. Mm-hmm. And they can counsel you, and because laws in different states are different, so you need to make sure you've got one that works for your state.
Okay. And matter of fact, friends, coming up here on the 20th of April, we're holding a seminar right here at our VCY headquarters for our local individuals to participate in such a seminar on planning for things just like this and estate planning as well. Brad Mattis with us today. Again, the website he just gave out, lifeandhope.com. And if you have a loved one, a concern for, you said how they're being treated in hospice or perhaps the treatment being withheld from them as well, Brad?
Yes, whether it's in a nursing home, hospice, or hospital, if their right to life is in jeopardy, you can call this National Crisis Hotline, 855-300-HOPE.
Friends, we'd like to open our phone lines today here on Crosstalk as well to take your questions or comments. Some of you will no doubt remember longtime listeners, our coverage of Terri Schiavo's life, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. But Brad, we've got to understand where this is going as well, and we're hearing more of, physician-assisted suicide. We're hearing about MAID laws. We see, for instance, LifeNews.com just reported a week ago about, or just days ago here, about Oregon assisted suicides jumping 20% as out-of-state residents are traveling there to kill themselves. That's another different aspect where people are going to have their life taken. Terry's desire was to live, though.
Yes, and that's a tragedy that we're seeing unfold there because last year, as you said, Oregon did away with the residency requirement. And what that state now is a one-way tourist attraction for death. And it doesn't matter what the laws are in other states. If a person can afford to get over to Oregon and have them end their life there, that will happen. So it's getting to be more of a dire situation. That's why we need to make sure that everybody has that person, that advocate for them.
Mm-hmm. And friends, I see from the article here that the youngest that was taken with so-called physician-assisted suicide drugs, just 29 years old. And Brad, this is affecting many, but we're also seeing the targeted of those who have some form of disability or different enablement, I should say. And they're oftener being targeted in this regard. And countries that are boasting that, well, we've done away with Down syndrome in our country. Well, that's because they're killing them before they're even born.
Yeah, they haven't done away with it. They just, as you said, executed anybody with the condition. And that's quite a difference.
Yeah. There. Well, friends, our number to Crosstalk, I see our lines are packed here. Brad Mattis is with us. And Brad, let me also just mention, you have resources on your website and information dealing with this matter of even euthanasia as well.
We do at lifeissues.org. We just built a brand new website. You go there, and if you can't find what you're looking for, let us know, and we will get it for you. It's no problem at all.
Yeah. And friends, according to, you may not have known this, but there's actually a National Feeding Tube Awareness Week here in the United States. And in January of this year, Shield Healthcare reported over 500,000 people in the U.S. use external feeding tubes at any given time. Now, that's what Terry's crime was. She was using a feeding tube and needed nourishment through that tube. Well, friends, we'll take your calls. Lines are packed here. Let's begin with Alice in New Mexico. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having this program on today. I just want to express my prayers to the family of Terry Schiavo today. Mm. Let them know that we're praying for them. And I just remember Terry about a week before they, murdered her. She actually spoke out and said, "I want to live." And I haven't been able to find that video on YouTube anymore. Did they take it down? But she did express her wishes to live. So do you know anything about if they took that video down?
Any comments,
well,
Brad?
That's a hazy memory on my part. And we do know that censorship was done throughout this process, but that is something that would require a little research on my end.
Yeah. They do have some videos. If you go to terryschiavo.org, and you'll find a section of videos there as well. And you'll see Terry. You'll see her eyes wide open.
Oh, yeah. She definitely begged to live. Yeah. She begged to live. And I just feel like, yes, indeed, they murdered her. And it was wrong. And I thank you for for having this show for people to be aware, because mm-hmm. it could happen to anybody.
You're right. Thank you so much, Alice. Dave is calling from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Dave, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I just want to mention my dad passed away about 4 years ago at 96 and a half, and we brought in hospice, and the first thing they want to do, as did the place he was at, independent living, is administer these drugs. And I said, "Well, what's in this drug pack?" And they said, "Oh, it's, you know, morphine." And I said, "Well, he doesn't need morphine. He's not in pain. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of end of life." And so I took over the drug pack. And I would just tell your listeners that you can control this to a large extent if you keep them home, which I was able to do, thank God. But don't just let the hospice do what they want. Take that drug pack, and because the first thing they want to do is give them drugs. Yeah. The second thing I wanted to mention is that I'm betting that a billionaire, millionaires, when they go in the hospital, end-of-life procedures are a lot different than what happened to Terry Schiavo. That's all I had. That was offline.
Thank you for the call here. And God bless you for taking care of a loved one there. But it's not always easy. Not everybody can do that, Brad, but it sure mm-hmm. made a difference.
But he brought up a very crucial point. And what we call that is terminal sedation. And many, many people have been victimized by hospice for that. Hospice used to be an absolutely wonderful organization. But when we were doing TV program, we couldn't find one that would go on camera saying that they do not withhold food and water from patients.
Mm.
And we are seeing that as a wholesale euthanasia spot in some sections of the country. Not all are bad, but there are many that you have to be very careful, very discerning, and very watchful, because if they want to put them on morphine, even though they're not in pain, that slows down the respiration and that causes an early death.
We have Kimberly calling from Sparta. You're on the air, Kimberly.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was remembering 20 years ago or 19 years ago when I was at that point listening mainly to mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember thinking, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I remember thinking to myself, well, she was just a vegetable, this is probably better. But so is it just a lot of mainstream media making the rest, making us think this way?
I didn't realize. That's exactly that you hit the nail on the head, Kimberly. And Brad, you can comment on that, but the media falsely portrayed what was going on with Terry.
Yes, and not just the media, the news media, but entertainment sections, everybody was piling on here. And if people understood the situation in its truthfulness and factual, there would have been a total uprising and we could have saved Terry's life.
Amen. Thank you for the call. Peter, in Alamo, Texas, you're on the air.
Yes. So when they noticed that Terry was responding vocally and with her eyes, did they attempt to feed her by the mouth?
Yes, they did, actually. There was a time where they were doing a combination of both. They have to be very careful about that, because if the muscles haven't been used in a while, they could aspirate very easily, which means inhale food particles that then could, the bacteria could cause a pneumonia, and that's a serious problem for somebody like Terry.
Yeah.
I see.
Thank you, Peter. And Brad, they were even denied putting ice chips on her lips, were they not?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And people who would go in there were flowers in the vase of water, and they were tempted to want to stick their finger in the vase and put it on Terry's lips, but they wouldn't let her put on. Bobby wanted to put on some chapstick, and as he was doing it, the guard came over and pulled him back and would not let him.
It's amazing. Friends, again, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls. Brad Mattis is with us. Lifeissues.org is their website. We're remembering the life of Terry Schiavo. Her life was tragically taken, dying of dehydration some 19 years ago this coming weekend. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On March 25th, the United Nations Security Council voted on a resolution calling for a ceasefire by Israel in the Gaza Strip. And it passed overwhelmingly. 14 nations voted in favor. 0 voted against it. And the United States of America, their ambassador, abstained. This was a resolution calling for the destruction of Israel, because if they do not stamp out Hamas, backed by Hezbollah and Iran, then What they're really voting on is the elimination of the Jewish people. Remember their anti-Semitic chant, from the river to the sea. That means the elimination of the Jews. The world just voted against Israel. God says in his word in Genesis, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I'm very concerned about what's going to happen to all of us in the world today based on this world vote.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Today, we're remembering the life of Terry Schiavo, and friends, at terryschiavo.org, you will see videos of Terry and her response to stimulus as well, following a balloon, a helium balloon going through the air there, and much more. Brad Mattis with us today. And let me just repeat the websites Brad gave earlier, lifeandhope.com. And 1-855, the hotline, 855-300-HOPE, 1-855-300-HOPE. We have additional callers online. Let's go to the state of Missouri next, and Leon is calling. Hi, Leon, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. I'm a member of the Colonel James Bogreitz's spike teams. We do rescues and things like that, and we would with Eric Rudolph and all. But Bo and I were arrested for attempting to give Terry some water and the Holy Eucharist, and we prayed. We had an all night vigil. We did had the praying and just said, God, what can we do? What can we do? And he just it gave us a blank, And I said, well, that's what it is. So we can just, the only thing we could do at that time was just go get arrested and stand against them and let them, let the world know, you know, what's going on. And they had thousands of people there. I mean, you know, a lot of people are not aware of that. Thousands of people, parades, and, you know, and people marching. But there was two things that really stood out on me. One of them is, where was focus on the family? They were not.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm not going to go down that road right now. We are talking about it. We do want to remember her life, but we can say that where was, you know, many. I can tell you this, Brad, there are many pro-life agencies that were engaged in this on all different levels, and certainly we remember her life, but there were crowds of people outside that hospice facility in those final days of Terry.
Oh, there were, like he said, thousands. And Focus was involved. They weren't in front of that hospice, but they were involved in the process. Mm-hmm. And we went back after Terry's death to film in front of the hospice. And they came out and demanded that we leave. And our producer looked at them and said, we're on the sidewalk, take a hike. And we just filmed, and there was nothing they could do. And we went over to the cemetery to get footage, and they followed us everywhere we went.
Yeah. Thank you, Leon. Nancy in Ripon, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. This is something somewhat similar to Terry Schiavo, and actually I thought of her when this happened. My 92-year-old uncle had a stroke. He was taken to UW-Madison, that's in Wisconsin Hospital. He didn't have an advance care directive, so my cousin just kind of let the doctor decide, and then my cousin agreed that he wasn't going to be having any water or food. And I said, what about a feeding tube? Well, they was told that he couldn't have a feeding tube. They didn't do that anymore.
What?
And it was 22 days that my mother and I went to visit him in the hospital.
Yeah.
He knew us. He laughed at the pictures on my phone. And it was 22 days. He actually pointed to the corner of the room where the hydration had been, like, I need water.
Hmm.
It was horrible. It was awful.
Yeah.
But he went 22 days before he finally died.
My.
It was not good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to comment on that. This is another thing that's happening.
Nancy, thank you
for the
call. We're sorry for that loss of yours. Brad, this story is happening over and over again. I mean, I'm sorry we don't do feeding tubes any longer.
Yeah, that's a crock. It's pure and simple. It's a lie. And they say lies to cover up sin. They know it's sin, but they want to do it because they're following the almighty dollar. And they do feeding tubes. I've talked to somebody who was on one recently, temporarily, and that was legal torture, is what happened to your uncle. Legal torture. And for 22 days, can you imagine his will to live, that it took that long to kill him? It's just very sad.
Yes, it is very sad. Let's go to Clarksburg, West Virginia. Scott, you're on the air.
Yeah, in Ecclesiastes 6:3, we're given a view into secular thought that life is a pointless journey to extinction, to which miscarriage is the quickest route. And it says in Ecclesiastes 5:8 that when we see oppression of the poor and denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight. For one official watches over another official, and there are higher officials over them.
Indeed. Thank you for that. And, Brad, that really brings us down. There's accountability before God himself in all of this.
Oh, there is. And those who have taken part in the killings of these people will pay a price. Of course, we know that the blood of Christ covers all sin.
Yes.
And as we look at Good Friday this week, we understand that. But there must be a repentant heart and a change of what they're doing.
Right, indeed. And friends, keep that message in mind, because that's the message of hope, really, that there is love, there's forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ, who bore our sins on the cross of Calvary. But praise the Lord, he didn't stay on that cross. He died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. And Brad, that really gives us hope.
Oh, it does. And it's kind of ironic here that we're coming upon these days where we commemorate his suffering and death, but celebrate his resurrection, because he lives, we live also.
Indeed. Well, Brad, again, this matter of Terry is one aspect. We know that there's a great movement across this country to really, in the words of Ezekiel, Emmanuel, basically, is that of not providing care to those who have any kind of disability whatsoever. And this is a very dangerous path that we are on as a nation.
Oh, it certainly is. And you mentioned the resource that you're going to be putting together for people in the area. I would encourage everybody who can get to that. That is a treasure of a resource that they're offering you. And in this day and age, everybody should be equipped. So please go if you're able.
Great. And friends, you'll find more information coming forth on our website and announcements here on VCY on that April 20th event. Brad Mattis, our guest here today, lifeissues.org. Brad, thank you for coming alongside to remember the life of Terry Schiavo.
Oh, it's been an honor. Thank you for asking me.
And Brad's website is lifeissues.org. Again, that crisis line to report people who are being mistreated in hospice or nursing homes. The number he gave out, 1-855-300-HOPE, or go to lifeandhope.com. Today we remember the life of Terry Schiavo. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.